Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Well, trust that you've had a fantastic week. If you weren't here last week, I preached a message from the book of Acts, chapter 8. I've been preaching about widening circles, our field of faith, and there's a stirring in God towards reaching those that Jesus gave his life for. And so if you missed last week, can I please encourage you to grab the podcast, or you can grab it on YouTube, Facebook, and so on, under Horizon Church. And it was all about Philip the evangelist and how God used him to reach the Ethiopian. There was great touch of the Holy Spirit on it. And I said to you that I'd preach Acts chapter 8. Today I'm going to preach Acts chapter 9. And next week is Vicky Simpson, by the way. So AM services and PM. It's a great opportunity to invite your friends. And then the following week, I'll lean into Acts chapter 10 when we move towards our mission season. So today I want to start off preaching and drawing to your attention about the great Apostle Paul. I want to take the time this morning to stir your heart and your attention towards the impact that the ministry of Paul has had on the globe. We know that the Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament, 13 of the letters. We could say that he wrote 2/3 of New Testament books. What a life. We could say this morning that his ministry has affected every single person in this room. Our lives have been impacted by the life of Paul the Apostle. Some of your favorite verses in the Bible were penned by Paul. Let me share some of them with you. Yesterday, there would have been weddings across the globe, Saturday. And at many of those weddings, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 would have been read, "Love is patient and love is kind." How about this one? We draw strength from this verse, and it's kind of invaded the NBA, and basketball players write this on their shoes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." How about this one? This is definitely one that we've drawn from over the years, and it's brought comfort and strength to you when you've been believing God for something. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by," come on, "sight." How about this one? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." How about this one? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "If any of us be in Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new." There'd be people across the globe this morning as the sun rises, reaching into these verses, drawing from these passages, drawing strength and wisdom. What a life. What an impact. 2,000 years ago, what this man penned and wrote is transforming lives across the globe today. How about Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Well, we got to quote Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Having therefore been justified by faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I haven't even quoted any verses from Timothy or Ephesians or Philemon or Colossians, or from the book of Titus. Some have said that Paul was the first great Christian theologian. Some have said that our faith, Paul, God used him to establish the building blocks of our faith. Think of the millions that are in heaven today because of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. One person said that the Apostle Paul, outside of Jesus Christ, has had the greatest effect on world history. But it wasn't always the case with Paul. He wasn't always a Christian. He wasn't someone who grew up in a home that shaped his thoughts and his ideas towards Jesus Christ. The end of Acts chapter 7, we pick up a story of the first Christian martyr in the Word of God. His name was Stephen. They grabbed a bunch of stones and rocks. They threw it at him and killed him. And the Bible says there was a young man by the name of Saul who was there witnessing and agreeing to the death of Stephen the martyr. As the church began to expand, so did persecution. And many believers fled Jerusalem, seeking refuge in other cities and countries. But there was one prime mover, one person who was persecuting Christians, who was hunting Christians down, and that was Paul, who was firstly known as Saul. And behind all of this persecution was an angry, furious, and violent man who had a laser-like focus, and that was one goal in life: to crush and subdue and destroy the message of Christianity. I don't know if you've ever taken the time to have a look at how fanatical Saul actually was. If you have a look with me quickly on the screen, you'll see Acts chapter 8, verse 3. This is how fanatical this man was. It says, "But Saul began to destroy the church." This wasn't a passion to create problems in the church or to frustrate the purposes of the church. The Word of God says that this man set out to destroy the church. Look at how he does it. The Word of God says, going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. He's radical. He's a fanatic. In fact, the Greek word that's used there where it says Saul began to destroy the church literally means to treat shamefully. This man shamed Christian people. In fact, the Greek word means to injure. It means to ravage. It means to devastate. And it means to ruin. In Acts chapter 22, verse 4, we hear a little bit more when Paul was witnessing and talking about his conversion experience. And he was telling people in Acts 22, verse 4, "I persecuted the followers of this way," watch this, "to their death." This was a wild rage. This was intense. This was a man who was out to kill believers. Again, it says, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. And then we see in Acts chapter 22, verse 19, the scriptures say to us of Paul, he was witnessing again, and he says of his past, he said, "I went from one synagogue to another to imprison," and watch this, "and beat those who believe in you." This man was radical. This man was not there to frustrate the purposes of God. He was out to kill, he was out to beat, and he was there to imprison people who had called upon the name of Jesus. And the verse that I struggle with the most of how someone with such extreme views could eventually become a Christian, hence why he's known as the Apostle of Grace, because of the forgiveness that he'd experienced in Jesus Christ. Have a look at Acts chapter 26, verse 11. It says, "Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished. And watch this, and I tried to force them to blaspheme." What are we talking about today? We're talking about a man who was ready to beat Christians unless they denied their faith. This man had become the enemy of the church. This man was so focused, so obsessed with destroying Christianity. I wonder how many people were derailed in their faith because of this man. I wonder how many Christians were thrown into prison. I wonder how many new Christians were derailed because of Saul. He was passionate, violently obsessed. To anybody who knew Christ, he hounded them in distant cities, foreign lands. Let me say this to you. This man was systematic. He was relentless and absolutely brutal in his assault on Christians. Ironically, Saul had unwittingly been doing what his favorite teacher, Gamaliel, warned him against, fighting against God. We pick up the story in his campaign of terror. He's on a road. And on this road, he had gone to the chief priest in Jerusalem to request a letter to go to the synagogues in Damascus to continue his destruction of Christianity. And in order to do that, he needed their cooperation so that he could persecute any believers he found there and bring them in chains back to Jerusalem. As he's traveling from Jerusalem, he's on a 217-kilometer journey to a city called Damascus, and the road, of course, is known as the road to Damascus. His goal is to arrest Christians, and his goal is to bring them back in chains. Think about that for a moment. We're not talking about a ride in a police car. We're talking about arresting Christians, getting chains, and traveling 217 kilometers. And as he embarks on this journey, filled with rage, filled with violence, something amazing happens. He was determined on the trip to wipe out the message of Christ. By the end of the trip, he was devoted to the cause of Christ, taking that message to the ends of the earth. How can someone so extreme in their views be changed in a moment, changed in a heartbeat? I'm preaching this message today because I want to stir your heart to believe for the supernatural. There may be people in your family, people in your world who have a hard heart to the things of God. And the good news of the message today is that if Jesus could reach Saul, he can reach your family. If Jesus could touch the heart of a man who was violently obsessed at killing Christians, he can touch your mum, your dad, your brother, your sister, your auntie, your uncle, your kids. This has been described as a monumental event in history, or in the history of the church. Some have called the passage that we're about to read the most famous conversion story in history. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 9, and let's read from verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out, watch this, murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting," he replied. Interesting to note, when you persecute the church, you're actually persecuting Christ himself. Verse 6, "Now get up and go to the city and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man." By the way, Straight Street still exists in Damascus today. "And ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. What a transformation. What an encounter with God. What a spectacular miracle that someone would experience. Something of the goodness of God reaching out, touching and impacting their lives. I notice in this story that the Word of God tells us that as Saul was journeying on the road to Damascus, it says that a light from heaven flashed all around him. This light was so intense that in later on in Acts, when Saul gives another account of this story, or Paul, it says that a light from heaven brighter than the sun. Think about it this way. When you're driving during the day and you know you see someone's car headlights on, it has a measure of influence on you, but not much. Why? Because of the brightness of the sun all around you. We learn in Acts later on that Paul tells us that this actually happened at midday. But this light was so bright, so intense, that the scriptures tell us it was so powerful that it knocked him to the ground and he was blinded for 3 days. He didn't fall over because of a heat stroke, but he was having a personal meeting with Jesus Christ. I want to pray as we reach out into our field of faith that those that you are reaching out to who are resistant to the purposes of God, who've built up walls around their lives, that they would have a supernatural encounter with Jesus Christ. That in the middle of their night, in their dreams, as they're reaching out and trying to figure out life, that they would have an encounter with the love of God. A.W. Tozer says about this passage, "If you have to be reasoned into Christianity, some wise fellow can reason you out of it. But if you come to Christ by a flash of the Holy Ghost, no one can ever reason you out of it." Saul has this flash of lightning, light around him. Bible says he's on the ground. And just like other key biblical figures, Abraham, Abraham, Samuel, Samuel, Simon, Simon, he also hears the same repetition. Saul, Saul. My prayer for you is that those that you're reaching out to this year with the love of God also would experience powerful repetition. That when they go to the coffee shop, the guy who's serving them is a Christian. When they go and put their car in to be clean, the person there is a Christian. When they're going through the shopping line and the person's there at the checkout and they're smiling and they're friendly, they are a Christian. Because why? God is orchestrating a repetition. Saul, Saul, that your family members and friends would also experience the reach of God pulling them towards himself. In this moment, Saul, he realizes he's having a divine experience. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus says, "I am the one you are persecuting." He tells him to get up, to go to the city of Damascus, and he'll be told there what he is to do. He gets there, and there's a disciple by the name of Ananias waiting for him. I don't know if God has ever used you to be an Ananias. Ananias, he's freaking out. He's like, "Lord, I mean, I'm happy to pray for anybody, but this guy, he's new levels. I mean, he's arresting people, killing people." But watch this. The name Ananias in the Greek means God is gracious. What did Saul experience? He experienced the grace of God. He experienced the love of God. I love the experience between Ananias and Saul, because when Ananias eventually meets him and begins to pray for him, the first words, you can read it in the text, you study it in your own time, he says to him, "Brother Saul." He's like, "Welcome to the family. We love you." He prays for him. The scales fall off his eyes. He's converted. He's called. And in the next chapter, he's preaching. Converted, called, commissioned. Can I show you a couple of things out of this passage that we read this morning? You doing okay? Yeah. Amen. When Saul was traveling on the road to Damascus, the Word of God tells us that there was also a group of men traveling with him. And in Saul's or Paul's account, he had a name change, by the way, so in case you didn't know. I don't know if you've ever been in the vicinity of something and completely missed it. A couple of years ago when I was preaching in Miami, I'm in the lobby, kind of in this restaurant hotel, and I like basketball, watch a lot of NBA, and I'm catching up with this pastor, sitting there eating, and we're like there for like an hour and just dialoguing, having a great time. And about 10 meters away from us at another table is an NBA legend by the name of Tony Parker from the San Antonio Spurs. I look over and I'm like, the guy that I was with, I'm like, "That's Tony Parker." He goes, "No." I said, "It's Tony Parker." Now, if you don't know much about basketball, which I'm obviously because no one cheered or clapped or shouted or did any forward rolls, but don't worry, you know what you'll be playing in heaven one day. And he's like, "What, Tony Parker? This is unbelievable." So we were sitting right there and didn't even realize that one of the greatest athletes in the world was 10, 15 meters away from us. In Acts chapter 26, verse 13, when Paul's giving an account of his conversion, his encounter, he says, "At midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun." Now watch this, stay with me. "Shining around me," watch this, "and those who journeyed with me." They also experienced the light. And look at verse 14. "And when we all," not just him, "when we all had fallen to the ground." And then in Acts chapter 22, verse 9, when Paul is giving an account of this story in another location, watch what he says. My companions, come on, Acts chapter 22, verse 9. My companions saw the light. They also experienced it, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. They saw the light, but guess what? They didn't see the Lord. You can be in the vicinity of Christianity. You can experience the love of someone who's a believer. You may touch the light. You may experience the light. But the real question is, do you actually know the Lord? All the men fell on the soil, but one man surrendered. Will you surrender to the Lordship of Jesus? We read this morning, they heard a sound. I was like, what is that noise? But one man heard a voice. Are you willing to hear his voice? Are you willing to say, I hear your call? I love about this passage that we should never underestimate the value of one person coming to Jesus. I mean, you think about Ananias. He's such a cool brother, you know. If I ever had a child in the future, I'd call him Ananias. But you know, it's because Allison's holding the baby. I'm having crazy thoughts this morning. You think about Ananias. We hear his name mentioned once later on in the book of Acts, but no fanfare. It's not like he has this big pat, oh, Ananias, when he did this. You think about, you know, at that very time, Peter was preaching to thousands in Jerusalem. Philip, there was a great harvest in Samaria, but one ordinary man by the name of Ananias said, I'll reach out to one. I'll care for one. Did Ananias ever think, you know, imagine like he's praying for him, Brother Saul, you know. Do you ever think that over the next couple of thousand years that his life would impact tens of millions? Did he ever think that the letters that that man would write, that would people across the globe for generation after generation after generation would quote and draw strength from what he said? Did he ever think that when people felt like giving up in their darkest hour, that the man he was praying for, people would open up his letters and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. What an impact. What a life. Thank God for the Ananias of this world who love one individual. This is an incredible transformation. Incredible story of conversion. God can reach your family. Your mum, she matters to God. Your dad may have been a tough bloke, but he matters to God. Those cousins who are gone wild, your son, your daughter, they may be Saul, but they matter to God. They may resist what you have to say, but there's one person that they'll never resist, and that's Jesus himself speaking into their lives. I've got a word for someone. Don't give up. Don't stop believing. Keep on praying. Can I finish with this? I love the balance of what we've experienced this morning. Balance is so dynamic, so incredible, so mighty, so God-ordained. watch the balance of what took place in this conversion experience. We know that this was a public miracle. What Saul experienced was out in the open. But I love the idea of Ananias in a quiet house praying for Saul. In the public, there was a bright light and a voice from heaven who said, this is dramatic. But the visit of Ananias was private. The hand of God pushed Saul from his place of pride. But God used the hand of a man to gently pray for him. One was public, the other was private. You're in a public place of worship today. But in this public place of worship, there are also moments of privacy. You can get caught up in the public atmosphere. But man looks at outward appearance. God looks at the intents of the heart. He's listening to the pain of your heart. He's listening to the voice of your circumstance. And this God, although he's mighty, great, powerful, and awesome, he's an intimate God who loves you so much. In a moment, we're going to have and give people the opportunity to have a private experience with Jesus. In a public setting, there are moments of privacy that you can have with God. Stop running from him. Stop turning your back against him, Saul. He has a great plan for your life. Your life has been destined by God to touch many, many people if you will surrender to him in the private moment. In a moment, I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes. And the reason why is because I'm creating an opportunity of privacy for you. In this private moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a simple prayer that invites Jesus Christ to come into our lives, to forgive us of our past. It's not a magical prayer, but essentially it's a way of me leading you to declare one name, and that's the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody in this auditorium to pray the prayer. And so in this moment of privacy, could we bow our heads, close our eyes, say this prayer after me. Dear Jesus Christ, I believe in you. Come into my heart and be my Savior. I receive your forgiveness, your love, and complete acceptance. I am now set free from my past. I am now a child of God. In this moment of privacy, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you did a long time ago and you're reconnecting with the love of God, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. And the reason why is so I can see who you are. I want to pray for you. I want to encourage you. There are a couple of people around the auditorium, some great Horizon Church people who also help me as well. Sometimes you can miss people when they put up their hand. But I want to ask you, be bold today. Be courageous in the moment of privacy. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you did a long time ago and you're coming home to Jesus, on the count of three, would you be kind enough to lift up your hand so I can see who you are? Are you ready? One, two, three. Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Who is there? Come on, people lifted up their hand in the previous service. You can do it today. God's love is reaching out to you. Once you've lifted up your hand and I've seen you, you can put it straight back down. If you think that I've missed you, if you would be kind enough to lift it again, I'd love the opportunity to pray for you. Come on, I know God's love is reaching out to you today. It's not time to resist. It's time to receive. Who is there lifted up nice and high? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Come on, we need to see souls saved. Who else is there lifted up nice and high? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, that we get to experience your love. Thank you, Lord, for our field of faith. Thank you for those that we're reaching out to with your kindness and your grace and your mercy. May we see many people added to the kingdom of God in 2021. We declare it in Jesus' awesome and powerful name. Can we give Jesus a hand of praise in the house this morning?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.